Isaiah chapter 52 tonight, and I was conscious that it is the Easter weekend, this weekend coming, and so I suppose maybe we could call tonight an Easter meditation. But we want to consider really our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. And I know that on the Lord's Day past, our own pastor made reference, of course, to this passage of Scripture. Many believe that Isaiah 53 should really begin in chapter 52 and verse 13. So that's where we'll begin. Whether that's right or not doesn't matter, but chapter 52 of Isaiah and verse 13, and we'll read down into chapter 53. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. May the Lord bless the reading of this so familiar passage of his precious word. I want to just speak for a few moments before we come to pray, just on the subject which I take from that hymn we were singing, that man of Calvary. That man of Calvary. I remember sitting down sometime last year. It was when I was speaking to the junior Bible class, and I printed this chapter out on a sheet of paper for each of the young people. And we went through it, and I told them to watch for the word he, and to watch for the word him, and to watch for the word his. And I would encourage you to do that. Take a pen or a pencil and just go down the chapter. In fact, begin in verse 13, chapter 52, and mark those references. Because the prophet Isaiah, he sees here in this passage, by divine inspiration, he sees a person. He sees a person. And he speaks of that person. Now, this is not the first time, of course, Isaiah has spoken of this person, because when you go through the prophecy of Isaiah, you'll remember there are many references to the Messiah and to the Savior. If you think, I'll read a few of these, if you want to turn them up. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and the verse 14. And we read there, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah sees Christ, and he sees the incarnation. This is God with us. You come over to chapter 9, very famous words, of course. Chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. And here Isaiah, by divine inspiration, he's able to speak of the child who would be born. And we have those titles, wonderful titles of Christ, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You come over to chapter 11 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And how the Lord Jesus was full of the Spirit of God without measure. He walked in the Spirit of God. You come over to chapter 42 of Isaiah. How this prophet saw the Lord Jesus, it's wonderful. In Isaiah chapter 42, and I'm sure you've heard messages preached from these scriptures, as I have, but verse 1 of chapter 42, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Again, the Savior, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it great to read verse 4, he shall not fail. And why are we here tonight? Because he shall not fail. And why will we be in heaven by God's grace? Because he shall not fail. This man of Calvary. Chapter 50 of Isaiah. Chapter 50. And again, a prophecy of Christ, without doubt. Verse 5, Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And you go into verse 7, and he says, I have set my face like a flint. And remember how when you go to the Gospels, how the Lord set his face as a flint to Jerusalem and to go to the cross of Calvary. Of course, Isaiah chapter 61, words that the Lord Jesus quoted himself there in the synagogue. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And then Isaiah 63, verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Christ is seen by Isaiah in some marvelous and wonderful ways. Good to meditate upon those scriptures. And of course, it's very encouraging to the Christian. One of the great blessings that we can receive is when we search the Old Testament for the prophecies, and then we go to the New Testament and see how they were fulfilled in Christ and in his birth and in his life and in his ministry and in his arrest and betrayal and in his false accusations made against him and in his crucifixion and in his burial and in his resurrection and in his ascension. Christ in all the scriptures, this blessed man of Calvary. But in Isaiah chapter 53, surely we have one of the most amazing prophecies concerning the Savior in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53, we are at the cross. And as I said, Isaiah sees this person, this man. And I emphasize that because, you know, if you were to ask a Jew, at least a Jew who knew what the rabbis taught, what is Isaiah 53 about? They will tell you, many of them will tell you, and this is their interpretation, that this is speaking of them. This is speaking of the Jews. This is speaking of the people. This is speaking of the nation of Israel. That's how they interpret Isaiah chapter 53. But how many times does God have to say he before we get it? This is the man of Calvary. And again, I'm not going to do this tonight, but you go through these verses and you mark he and you mark him, and you mark his. It's all about this blessed man of Calvary. There are some verses, and you look for the word we and or. For instance, in verse number 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And is this not one of those passages where you can write over it, the sin is all ours, and the grace and the redemption is all his? And every time you read in this passage about we and us, we're identified with our fallen, sinful nature. Verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The sin's all ours, but the grace is all his. And he came to do this wonderful work. And when we go to the four Gospels, we discover the Lord Jesus fulfilled these wonderful words and all the prophecies of the Old Testament Scripture. And I encourage you, as I said, to just go read it with that thought in mind. He, him, his. And notice, it's all about this wonderful person. You know, I was thinking about this afternoon, and I thought, you know something, if you take the whole thing, it's all here. It's all true. You go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you discover this is what actually happened. It's all here, it's all true, and it's all done. He cried, it's finished. Reverend Baker was speaking at our last children's meeting last Friday. He brought a wonderful word. He was illustrating. He made up a mock car here at the front with chairs and a couple of kids behind him in the back seat and all. And he says, you know, we're driving along the road and we'll conk out. And what's wrong? He asked the children, what do you think's wrong? And I forget just what some of them said. Some of them said, the engine stopped. Well, he says, of course it stopped, but why has it stopped? Well, the point he was making is we've run out of petrol. We're empty. And then he twisted that around. And he says, you know, when things are empty, it usually is a bad thing. But he says, I want to tell you three things that are empty, and it's a great thing. And he says, the manger's empty. Because the Lord went on, he grew up to be the perfect man and lived the perfect life. The cross is empty. No longer on the cross because the work is finished. He says the tomb's empty. Isn't that good outline, wasn't it? I thought it was a good outline. I can't preach it here because he preached it. But anyway, the tomb's empty. He's risen from the dead. Raised again for our justification. But Isaiah sees the person, the man of Calvary. You know, in the book of Isaiah, and we'll not take the time to look these up, but I'll just read them to you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, we read, behold your God. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, we read, behold my servant. We read that. In Isaiah 32, verse 1, we read, behold, a king shall reign. And then you go to Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, we read, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Behold your God, behold my servant, behold a king, behold a man. When you go to the New Testament opens with Matthew's gospel, and Matthew is the gospel of the king. Behold your king. Mark is the gospel of the servant. Behold my servant. Luke is the gospel of the Son of Man. Behold the man. And John, his gospel is the gospel of the deity of Christ. Behold your God. Isn't it wonderful? Behold your God, behold my servant, behold the king, behold the man. Now, come over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And you know, I'm sure this old fella didn't realize he was fulfilling Bible prophecy, but he was. And in John chapter 19, we have Christ, and he's before Pilate. He's brought before Pilate, and he's being examined. If you look at chapter 19 and verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And notice this, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man! Exclamation mark. But then you come down the chapter, and down to the verse number 14. We'll read verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. Isn't it wonderful tonight, all these years later, when we look back upon the scriptures, these are the scriptures of truth. This is God's book. This is God's word. And everything fits together. The prophecies are there and the fulfillment of those prophecies are there. And we can be absolutely sure that what has been prophesied, which is yet to be fulfilled, will be fulfilled. Aye, to the jot and the tittle. This is the blessed man of Calvary. You know, as you go through the New Testament or the Old Testament, I notice something, and I think I've probably shared this with you before, but there is this thought that keeps cropping up where God is looking for a man. He's looking for a perfect man. He's looking for a man who will love him with his whole heart and mind and soul and strength. He's looking for a man who will be like the man in Psalm 1. Let's just look at some of these. If you look at Isaiah 41, saying we're in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41. And God looking down, and look what he says in verse 28 of Isaiah 41. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. Come over to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And look at verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And again, this is found in the scriptures. In Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, and verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And right from Genesis to the end of the Old Testament, this thought runs through the Bible. God looking for a man. There was none. And then there's the silent years, as they're called, between the testaments. And then we have Christ coming into the world, God manifest in flesh, God and man. And he's the perfect man. He's the man God's looking for. And we study his life, and there's no sin in him. He said himself that Satan could find nothing in him. And the enemies watched his every word and listened to his every word, trying constantly to pull him down and catch him out. They couldn't do it. And even his accusers, even Pilate, I find no fault in him. This is the blessed man of Calvary. God seeking for this perfect man. Now God has provided him. It's God himself. God manifest in the flesh. You know, I did this. I went through the Bible with my concordance and I looked up this word, feel. And we haven't time to go through this, but listen, the Bible says, Genesis 47:15, money failed. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 5, desire shall fail. Habakkuk 3:17, the olive shall fail. Psalm 142, verse 4, refuge failed me. Psalm 71:9, strength faileth. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 3, wisdom faileth. Lamentations 2, verse 11, mine eyes do fail with tears. Deuteronomy 28:32, eyes hope. The hope can fail. Isaiah 57, verse 16, spirit shall fail. And is it not true tonight, we can write over the whole human race tonight, failure. Failure. Look at that bridge. You know, that bridge, that watching that was awful. That big ship hit that pillar and the whole thing in 4 seconds just collapsed. And thank the Lord they managed to stop the traffic, because if you watch the video, the cars and lorries are flying across that bridge. But that's true of everything. But it's not true of Christ, because the prophecy in Isaiah is this: he shall not fail. This is the blessed, wonderful, merciful man, bountiful man of Calvary. There had to be a man like us who would live perfectly and would be put to death, for God cannot die. But the man Christ Jesus died and was raised again. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. What a wonderful passage it is. It's not the nation of Israel. It's not the Jewish people for sure. It's our Savior, their Messiah, and our Savior. I know that they would see that and come to know that. But look at Isaiah chapter 53 and look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Well, we've been reading that even in concerning Pilate, and then there was Herod, and then there was Caiaphas, the high priest. He was taken from prison and from judgment, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. Isaiah's telling it, he's going to be put to death, cut off. Look at verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Remember, he was buried in the tomb of a rich man, in which a man had never been buried. So he's been cut off, died. He has been buried. He's been put in the grave. And then look at verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Now, how can a man who has been cut off and died and has been buried, how can he prolong his days? He's resurrected. He's raised up from the dead on the third day. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Oh yes, there's failure in us, and there's failure in every human being, and there's failure in the earth, and there's failure, and you know, it'll get worse, because that my Bible says the day will come when men's hearts shall fail them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, but our Savior shall never fail. And you know, when you're failing, or I'm failing even as a Christian, which we can do, what do? We look to him. He shall not fail. You know, when Paul is writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he's setting forth the gospel there, the gospel, he says that I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You know, that little phrase, he was buried, is not there for no reason. It's part of the gospel. Because, as you know, when we die and our body decomposes and we go back to the dust, is that not failure indeed? And we die because sin entered the world, and so death passed upon all men. But you see, our blessed Savior went into the tomb for us. He went into the grave for us. And he was raised again from the grave for us. A guarantee that all his people will be raised again to everlasting and eternal life or body. He shall not fail. I often think, you know, and I don't know for sure, when they came to the tomb and the tomb was empty, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here. And time went past, and Joseph of Arimathea, that was his tomb. And I often thought, and I do think about it sometimes because I'm getting older, and if the Lord tarries, I'll die. But I often think it's a good thought to think Joseph would have no fear, because when he came to die, and if he was put into that tomb, surely he would say, my Savior lay here. My Savior lay here. and he was raised. And though I lie here, I will be raised. The blessed man of Calvary. Yeah, everything fails. But God doesn't fail. Christ doesn't fail. The Bible says of itself, his word will not fail. His promises do not fail. His faithfulness does not fail. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. And there's treasure in heaven if we lay it up, and it shall not fail. This is the blessed man of Calvary. So I encourage you just to meditate yourself. You know, when I was first saved, I came to know a man, and this is back in 1977, George McGilton. And George worked, when I left school, I went to work in J.C. Brown's in Belfast. And George was a member then of the Iron Hall, and he still is. He's in his 80s now, and he still goes down the Saturday, weather permitting, gives out tracts in Belfast City Centre. But I remember George saying to me, he says, you know, at Christmas, I read all the Christmas passages in the Bible. And he says, at Easter, I read all the Easter passages in the Bible. And he says, it blesses me. So be encouraged, even yourself, in these days around Easter, just to read these passages and just look again at the Saviour. Isn't he wonderful? And isn't it good to know him and to know he? And because he shall not fail, our salvation shall not fail, because he is our salvation, and our salvation is his. May the Lord bless those thoughts, a meditation, an Easter meditation from God's precious word. Well, we're going to go down to prayer.